শুভ সন্ধ্যা। আজ 27 জুন, 13ই আষাঢ়, 19 জামিদিয়াস আওয়াল। এখন ক্যানবেরাতে সময় রাত 8টা। শুরু হচ্ছে ক্যানবেরা 2XX কমিউনিটি রেডিও স্টেশন থেকে প্রচারিত সাপ্তাহিক বাংলা অনুষ্ঠান বাংলা রেডিও। অনুষ্ঠানটি প্রচারিত হচ্ছে কমিউনিটি ব্রডকাস্টিং ফাউন্ডেশন লিমিটেড ও বাংলাদেশ অস্ট্রেলিয়া অ্যাসোসিয়েশন ক্যানবেরা সৌজন্যে। প্রতি সোমবার রাত 8টায় এই অনুষ্ঠান প্রচারিত হয় FM ব্যান্ড 98.3 MHz। আজ অনুষ্ঠান পরিচালনায় আছি আমি, সাদিকুর রহমান। আজকের অনুষ্ঠানটি একটু ভিন্ন ধর্মী। আমাদের সাথে আছেন কৃষি বৈজ্ঞানিক হাওয়ার্ড রসন। তিনি সিএসআইআরও থেকে প্রায় 10 বছর আগে রিটায়ার করেন এবং উনি এখন একজন এগ্রিকালচারাল কনসালট্যান্ট। কিছুদিন আগে তিনি বাংলাদেশ থেকে ফেরত আসেন। উনি বাংলাদেশে একটা প্রজেক্টে গিয়েছিলেন এবং ওই প্রজেক্টে বেশ সাফল্য হয়েছিল। আমরা ওনার সাথে এই প্রজেক্টটা নিয়েই কথা বলব, তবে তার আগে আসুন আমরা একটা গান শুনি।
দেখবি যদি ভগবান, ওরে মানুষ দেখবি যদি ভগবান ভগবান, ওরে মানুষ দেখবি যদি ভগবান, ছেড়ে দে তোর হিংসা বৃত্তি, ওই তো বিঘ্ন অতি প্রধান, ওরে মানুষ দেখবি যদি ভগবান ভগবান, ওরে মানুষ দেখবি যদি ভগবান।
ভগবান ভগবান, ওরে মানুষ দেখবি যদি
Bishnupad Dasher Kante Gaan Shunnam. Howard, welcome to the program. It's very kind of you to come in. Can I just ask you first, when were you in Bangladesh?
I was in Bangladesh for around about 6 months altogether in four visits. And my first visit was approximately 2 years ago. And I came back, my last visit, about 2 months ago. So I've had a really pleasant and extended time in Bangladesh. Certainly enough time to really enjoy it very much.
Oh, that's lovely. And why were you in Bangladesh, Howard?
It's a sort of a long story, I think, that I've been thinking about going to Bangladesh for many, many years. I had many visits to India over 25 years. I went to Pakistan, enjoyed Pakistan. I went to Nepal, enjoyed Nepal, but I never managed to go to Bangladesh. And I met, around about 10 years ago, I worked closely with a Bangladesh gentleman, scientist. He said, come to Bangladesh, it's the best place. So I said, okay, when the opportunity comes. And so the opportunity came. And the opportunity came because I was asked by FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, if I'd like to take part in a project that was going to work in Bangladesh, work on wheat. And they said, would I like to go there a few times? And I, of course, jumped at the opportunity.
So what did you have to do about wheat?
What FAO had decided to do, as encouraged, of course, by the Bangladesh government and particularly the Bangladesh Agricultural Research Institute, or BARI. They have been in collaboration with BARI. And what they were going to try to do was to look for ways to increase production of wheat in Bangladesh. And the reason for that is that at the moment there are about 4 million tons of wheat being consumed in Bangladesh, and the amount that is eaten is increasing by about 3% per year, so it's becoming more and more. And Bangladesh at the moment is only producing about 1.5 to 1.8 million tons. So there's a deficit of around about 2 million tons that Bangladesh either has to buy at great expense from overseas or grow in Bangladesh. And so FAO pulled me in to work with the BARI experts to look for ways of increasing production of wheat in Bangladesh.
Right. Can I just ask, I thought Bangladesh was more or less self-sufficient in foodstuff, and yet you're saying that there is a shortfall of wheat production of about 2 million tonnes a year. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. There is a shortfall, and it's a serious shortfall. And it seems as though there is an increasing interest in eating wheat, and it is increasing every year at the moment. So, and you probably know better than I do what the reasons are for that. But I know in many places that I travelled in around Bangladesh that it seemed very common to get a chapati type of wheat for breakfast. Maybe rice for the other two meals, but commonly chapati type of bread in the morning.
Right, so how did you try and set about increasing the wheat production? What were your strategies? What was your thinking?
Well, the first thought was we must try to increase the amount of production on the traditional wheat lands in Bangladesh. Now, wheat has been grown for 35 years in Bangladesh in small amounts, so the technology is there for growing wheat. But the problem is that the yields are very low, and they're actually decreasing. So the average yield for wheat in Bangladesh at the moment is around about 2 tons per hectare. Now, that is very poor. At one time, the potential actually is between 3 and 5 tons per hectare, depending on where you are in the country. So we have to find ways for improving yield. The other approach that we were going to take was to find whether there are any parts of Bangladesh where wheat is not being grown yet, but where the ground is also not being used for growing any other crops. So if there is some place where there's fallow, then would it be possible to grow wheat in those fallow lands? So it was a two-pronged attack. Find some new ground and also try to increase wheat production on the ground that's already producing wheat. We looked very hard. I'll take you a little bit further into the story. We looked very hard and we found in the south, southern coastal regions of Bangladesh, there is around about 800,000 hectares, a great deal of land there, which is not used during the rabi season. It lies fallow.
So this is during the winter?
This is during the winter period, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's during the winter period, during the dry season, that wheat can be grown. So we thought, would it be possible to grow wheat in this area that is not being used by farmers? It's just lying fallow. But we had been told previously that it was very, very difficult to grow a wheat crop there because it's quite often salty. The ground is quite often salty and there are problems with waterlogging, and the wheat does not like either of those things. But we decided we would try it anyway.
When you say waterlogging, that means the field doesn't dry out enough.
Yes, that's correct. And the other problem is that if the field has dried out, but then maybe a little bit of rain comes along that is late after the monsoon has finished, and the crop is still young, and the water lies in the field from that rain, then the young crop will die. So that was a possible problem in this region. So what we thought we would do, we would get a lot of farmers involved who might be interested in this region, and we will give them, this is under FAO funding, we will give them seed and fertilizers and tell them how to grow wheat. They have never grown wheat before, and just see what results there will be. And remarkably, the yields were very good. So we were able to produce, or the farmers were able to produce, with the new technology that they had never used before, yields which were quite acceptable, between 2 and 3 tons per hectare in this land that normally remains fallow. Now, as I said, there are potentially 800,000 hectares of this land. Now, if we could produce wheat on half of that land, then it would be possible, not probable, but possible, to produce 1 million tons of wheat for Bangladesh, where nothing is growing at the moment. So this was very, very exciting for us to find that this was a possibility.
But am I right in thinking, Howard, also that you look for new types of wheat to be used? I mean, you were instrumental in introducing a new type of wheat?
Well, what Bari had been developing for some years, maybe the last 5 years, they have been doing some excellent breeding work. And they have found they've produced a number of new varieties which clearly did very well in the traditional wheat growing areas, but we didn't know whether they will grow in these new areas where it was saline. But remarkably, these good varieties that they had developed did very well in this new land. So the breeders in Bangladesh have done a really, really good job in producing these varieties. There's a suite of about 6 to 8 of them that are very good.
And am I right in thinking that you also felt the culture of the country, in the sense, I remember your seminar, that because people talk a lot, the knowledge and disseminated very quickly, people came up with new ideas of how to do the planting, or what you taught them was spread very quickly around the area.
This was one of the things that was absolutely remarkable, that we found that the way that we had designed the what we call demonstrations of the technology were designed in such a way that the farmers will be able to discuss different parts of the technology. So different farmers in a group who might be living next door to each other, they would have different parts of the technology to try. And This resulted in a lot of discussion between the farmers. They disagreed, they agreed, there were big, big discussions. Some farmers said, I like this method, and others said, I like this method, and this resulted in a lot of discussion. And the discussion went well beyond the group of farmers who were directly involved in the project. Farmers who were not involved, but who lived nearby or even 5 kilometres away, came and joined in the discussions. And they said they liked something best and better than something else. And they decided in the second season, so we tried this out for one season, and then in the second season, many new farmers came in on their own volition to try out this technology. And in one area, I've been previously up to now talking about the coastal region of the south, but we also had many sites around other parts of the country. And in the Jamalpur area, which I'm sure you know is to the east, in Jamalpur, the area increased from 6 hectares of wheat production around our blocks to 130 in one season. So the farmers all round about all decided that they had seen very, very good wheat growing, and they would cash in on this and they would make profits. And it worked out very, very well.
Howard, you've talked about trying different technologies. What was the experiment about? You were trying different ways of tilling the, ploughing the ground, basically, is that
yes.
right?
What one of the major constraints in Bangladesh, one of the difficulties in growing wheat is that because it follows the Tiaman, the main rice crop, which is grown during the wet season, of course, it has to wait for planting for the Tiaman to be harvested, taken off the ground, and then the ground has to be prepared, it has to be cultivated in readiness for the wheat to be sown. And using the traditional methods, using the bullock plough, it can take 3 weeks for turnaround between harvest time of the rice through to planting the wheat. And by the time 3 weeks has gone by, the wheat crop has 3 weeks less to grow in. And this also means that it is maturing, it is filling its grains during the very hot period of late March, even into early April. And so what we tried to do was to look for ways to reduce that 3 week period between harvest and sowing of the wheat to 1 day. And then the wheat could grow 3 weeks longer. And so what we asked the farmers to do was to try different methods for planting the wheat, for cultivating the ground and planting the wheat that would take 1 day. Now the very quickest method was just to make slots in the ground immediately after the rice was harvested and drop the seed into those slots. This is done by machine, by small machines.
Which so this is making holes in the ground?
This is just making a slot, an extended slot.
Okay.
And the seeds drop into this slot.
Mm-hmm.
So you finish up with rows of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very quick. You can do many, many hectares in a day. And there were other methods as well, but all of them were involved planting in 1 day, cultivating and planting in 1 day. And so the wheat crop had 3 weeks more to grow and to produce yield, and it worked remarkably well.
Howard, these new technologies that you were testing, some of them cost a lot of money and some of them didn't cost so much, yet you found that they had the same sort of efficacy that they allowed the farmer to plant in a day. Is that right?
Yes, it was quite remarkable, actually. One of the very, very nice technology that had been developed over several years by Simit was one in which the crop looked absolutely beautiful. It had a small machine that was sitting on the back of what they call a power tiller. Now, a power tiller is a hand-driven tractor with 2 wheels, a very small unit. And this seeding method that went on the back of this tractor, it would put the crop in 1 day and finish up with an absolutely beautiful crop. Everybody expects that this technology will do extremely well and be better than any other technology. Now, the other end of the scale, what we did was we asked the farmers to follow the traditional route for planting wheat, so we could see how much better the new methods were than the traditional system. And the farmer said, we are not going to use a bullock plough, we're going to use a power tiller, we're going to use a tractor because the tractor is here. Why would we need to use a bullock plough? And so they all used the new system, the new system for ploughing, tilling the land. And then after they had tilled the land, they broadcast the wheat seed and the fertilizer, and then went over it all again.
So when you broadcast, you mean you just throw the seed?
You throw the seed, but you spread it so it's uniformly distributed over the ground. And then they went through with their power tiller again and did a shallow cultivation to make sure that the seed and the fertilizer were a little below the surface. Now, everybody thought this method that they had invented would be no good.
This is the farmers invented the method.
The farmers invented this method.
And this is opposed to the CIMMYT instrument that had been developed.
Yes, yes. Now, the CIMMYT instrument did slightly better. And the crops looked beautiful from the CIMMYT instrument. They were all in beautiful rows. Now, the farmers produced almost as good a yields. The crops did not look as nice, but they were almost as good a yields. And so our feeling was that this costs nothing. This method costs nothing. They have invented an amazing system. We should be encouraging other farmers to use this farmer's method. But I've got to add that the farmers themselves did not like their method, even though it produced extremely good yields, because they were all men, almost all men, the farmers, and men always like machines.
So they liked the CIMMYT machine, did they?
They liked the machine much better than having to go with their hands and broadcast or spread the seed.
So there was less work, but obviously it involved
That's
money.
Correct. But they saved, the machine cost about 30,000 to 40,000 taka, which is quite a lot of money for a farmer to find.
Especially for the poorer ones.
Yes.
And what did the women think?
The women were absolutely thrilled with the whole thing, except that it increased their workload, because the women were involved very largely in doing the threshing, so getting the seeds out of the wheat that was produced. And because the yields were so good, they had to work a lot more. And also, the women were in charge of all the storage of the seed, which they stored in large plastic containers. So, of course, they had to work harder. But at the end of the day, they were wealthier.
So, Howard, to go back to your experiment then the one advance was the new seed that was developed by Bari, but another one was perhaps the sort of the culture you encouraged of the farmers to discuss and go through the methods to try and find out what improvements could be made. And that was also a large part of it, wasn't it?
We felt that this was something of a different approach to demonstrations. It's common for organisations in agriculture to have demonstrations. And by demonstration, that means that the farmer follows a particular technology that is taught to them. They do number one, number two, number three, number four. They follow it exactly. And what we did was we encouraged the farmers to do different, slightly different things and to use their intellect to develop new things within a general framework. And this made them much more interested. They understood. In fact, we tried to teach them why we were proposing the different methodologies. So there was a lot of discussion. Everybody learned a lot, and we learned a lot as well. So it was a good study and enjoyable, I think, for all farmers. It was a good outcome.
Yeah, it makes me feel very proud that we Bengalis and Bangladeshis have a reputation for talking. I'm glad it's come to a really good use. It's been wonderful. Thank you very much, Howard.
Pleasure.
And if we go aside from the agriculture now, what was your other experience or your other experiences of Bangladesh? Did you enjoy the traffic, for example, or the music?
I enjoyed the music. I had no choice with the music because I travelled a lot. We had many sites in Bangladesh, and so we spent a lot of time travelling in a car. And the colleagues, the Bari and other colleagues that were in the car with me, they really enjoyed Bangladesh music. And so I was exposed for hours and hours and hours on end to Bangladesh music, which I learned to quite like. I did like it to begin with, but I learned to like it more, I think, in time. So that was a good experience. But I think the main good experience was that I found people in Bangladesh were so incredibly friendly, really, really friendly. On the negative side, I did not like Dhaka. I found that it was, as you're, I think, possibly implying, it's very dirty and it's polluted, and I get the impression that while it's developing very rapidly, a lot of beautiful new buildings are going up and a lot of very bad buildings are going up. It gives the impression to a tourist like myself that it's not controlled, it's not systematic in any sort of way. I could be wrong, but that's the feeling that I had. So I have not very good feelings about Dhaka, but the rest of the country I think is very beautiful. Most surprising to me, I didn't know what to expect when I went there, but it is a very beautiful country, I think, perhaps because it is so green, particularly during the after the wet season. So, and it is beautiful to see so many rice fields, which is, I think, a beautiful crop. But maybe I need to talk some more about rice. Why? I think you were interested to know why we were not encouraging rice production.
Okay, well, Howard, I think it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I really feel delighted to have had you here. I think we'll have you again very soon, and you can tell us about why you think we shouldn't be growing rice, and also if your other experiences in Bangladesh. It's been a real pleasure having you, Howard, and I'm glad the experiment's gone so well. It leaves me feel very proud to be Bangladeshi.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Srota Bundhura, I'm Ratakon Howard Rosson Eshate. কথা বলছিলাম আপনারা শুনলেন তার অভিজ্ঞতা বাংলাদেশের এবং বাংলাদেশে তার এক্সপেরিমেন্টের কথা এবং তার শুধু না যে বাংলাদেশের কৃষকদের সাহায্যে যে এরকম একটা এক্সপেরিমেন্ট করে যে ভালো ফল পাওয়া গিয়েছে এবং আমাদের যে কথা বলার যে এবং আড্ডা মারার যে প্রবণতা সেটা থেকে যে ভালো জিনিসও উদ্ভূত হয় সেটার যে প্রমাণ উনি দিলেন তা নিশ্চয়ই আপনাদেরকেও আনন্দ দিয়েছে আমাদের অনুষ্ঠানের আমরা শেষ পর্যায়ে চলে এসেছি আপনারা যে যেখানেই থাকুন ভালো থাকুন আনন্দে থাকুন এই কামনা করি বাংলা রেডিও আপনাদের কেমন লাগে জানালে খুশি হব বাংলা রেডিও সম্বন্ধে আপনাদের মতামত জানানোর ঠিকানা হচ্ছে বাংলা রেডিও @hotmail.com শুভ সন্ধ্যা